Let's party, Columbus!
Fields with time in the end zone. Oh, what a catch! Jeremy Rucker, give me that! In trouble, sacked again. Guess who, folks? The mighty Chase Young sets a single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner across the timeline. Throws it from high on the right.
He hit it. He hit it. He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball.
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty!
Hello and welcome back to a big time episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan here with Big Cass and Ohio State basketball. They just suffered their first loss of the 2020 season at the hands of the Purdue Boilermakers on the road. It was an ugly game, Cass. There's really no way to spin it. It was just an ugly offensive performance by the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it was. They're hard to watch. Without E.J. Liddell, they're very hard to watch. But with E.J. Liddell coming back and the emergence of the – not the emergence, but the premiere of Seth Towns, this team will be okay. It's just – it's hard to miss your star player and probably the most energetic player on the team. And then Justice Suing made two huge mistakes.
Not diving for that ball blew my mind.
Like he didn't even have to dive for the ball. He
just
could have
grab it.
Like Stephen Bardo said, grab the ball and you had 3-on-1.
We would have had it was just a lazy play. I don't know if he was fatigued or what was going through his mind, but I thought if he grabbed it, he could have had a nice fast break opportunity. I think he overthought it and was just trying to be safe. But that was – when the ball's right there, just grab it.
End up going 2 points the other way too. We end up
–
instead of being down 7, we were down 9.
Yeah, and then 3-point shooting, it was ugly. 25% on the day, 6 for 24. Not great. Free throws are solid, 10 out of 13. No complaints there. Field goals, we shot 37.9%. It was your typical Big Ten game, but like they were saying on Big Ten Network, basically, E.J. Liddell's the alpha dog on this team. Yep. He is the guy in the paint. He is the scorer, and it's really hard to score against a team in Purdue, which has Travion Williams, just an absolute stud in the middle, a forward, and then they have this guy Zach Edey, who this guy's like 6'4", an absolute monster, only had 1 point and 5 rebounds, but his presence in the paint was an issue. And when Ohio State, unfortunately, they don't have E.J. Liddell, probably the best big. Kyle Young can only do so much. He's 6'8". He played pretty well, I thought, but there was no Diallo tonight. I thought there was a game where Diallo could have played. He was out, just I think due to a medical issue. It was Purdue's night, and it's unfortunate. Ohio State's 0-1 in the conference, and it's not a great start, but they are 5-1. They did beat Notre Dame. They look good. And now they're playing UCLA on Saturday.
Yeah, instead of North Carolina due to conference COVID. What was it? Conference COVID.
COVID.
Restrictions.
Yeah, but they just did the Big Ten ACC Challenge like a week ago.
Yeah, I maybe the ACC said, uh-uh, we were really bad against the Big Ten this year. Let's switch this up. Apparently, North Carolina didn't want the revenge on the Buckeyes.
I honestly have no idea what it could have been because
– and I'm kind of glad because I think North Carolina would have beat us.
Yeah. Oh, EJ, yeah.
With EJ being out. But now we can go in and get a win against UCLA.
Yeah, it's – I mean, I'm not upset with this team at all.
No, I'm not either.
They're showing promise. Like a lot of these bench guys have been stepping up. I've been impressed really with Jimmy Sotos the past few games. He's looked like a really good asset off the bench.
I've always liked Musa Diallo. Mm-hmm. He's bringing a lot of energy this year. We're going to be fine, just mm-hmm. fine. We're going to hit some bumps in the roads. It's the Big Ten, and we're the best conference in basketball. Like
we just need. We need Dwayne Washington to really take the next step.
Yeah, if he would have hit a couple of those shots tonight, we probably lost by three and maybe – or won by three. So,
and you could see, too, he hit a big three down the stretch, and I thought he was going to, you know, catch fire and potentially get us back in it. But he really – I mean, this team I think is going to go as far as he is. Obviously, E.J. Liddell's great.
Yeah, I think
Suing's great, but – when it comes to, you know, winning in March, winning in a tournament, you're going to need some guard play. And
it's been bad lately.
And it's been atrocious, man. It's been really bad. I mean, there's been some halves where we have not made a three. So, I mean, a guy like Dwayne Washington, CJ Walker, they need to step up. There's no way to be blunt about
and
it.
And Justin Arnes is so streaky.
He is.
He's had a couple good games and then he's looked average at best. Like
that's, I mean, I can live with that though with Orange because you know what you're getting within the first 5 minutes of him being out there. He's either going to bury two or three right away and then you're going to know, okay, we're going to play him the rest of the night, or you know, he's just going to be there for defense and he might not make anything, but you got to live with that. It's more the fact that you have senior guards like CJ Walker and Dwayne Washington's a junior, I believe. You know, they're supposed to be taking over the games, and they're not.
Needless to say, we have two starting guards that played a lot of Big Ten basketball, and they haven't made that step forward. I think somewhat of controlling the basketball Dwayne Washington has, but CJ Walker, it seems like he just took a baby step forward. We need that leap. We need that leap forward for CJ Walker.
I mean, 13 – like, he's averaging 13 points on the season. He's doing all right, but also think about the competition he was playing and think about his shot selection too. He's just getting, like, easy layups and stuff underneath the basket. We want to see him become more of a shooter too. But it's fine. I think they'll bounce back. UCLA is beatable. Notre Dame, they were a really good team. We beat them. We squeaked by. Purdue, they're a lot better this year. I mean, there's no way around it. They lost Carson Edwards 2 years ago. Well, a year ago. Now they got, looks like, some players. They're going to be all right this year. So it is what it is. But, you know, hopefully I think they will get it done this weekend against UCLA.
Absolutely. Which, you know, we would be more basketball heavy, but now let's move forward. Today was National Signing Day for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and Dan, you pouring this out. 9:30 a.m. was when every single bite had their letter in it.
And honestly, I think I'm honestly being generous. I think it was 9 a.m. all of them were in.
Insane, including one that's from Australia, so you know had to be 12 hours behind us, or I mean ahead of us.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Let's see, because Burke officially, I think, signed his around 10 a.m. So maybe it's 10 a.m. But still, usually, I feel like this goes on to 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's usually a guy that you know wasn't expected to be part of the class that joins at the last second. But today, I love how 21 guys, they sign their letters instantly. It's like they all know. They're all on board. They're all bought in. And it's not only that they're all bought in. it's the collection of these guys. It's, I guess, unfortunately, now it's the number two class because Alabama has.
Yeah, they flipped a couple guys.
I don't understand the rankings. It's confusing, but yeah, Alabama now has the number one class. But Ohio State, I mean, that class is going to be special when you look at the leadership and just the names and just how they interact with each other. I think that's going to be a really cohesive unit. It might honestly could go down as one of the best recruiting classes in Ohio State history.
And that's saying a lot.
It is. That is the dream. That is the dream class, I think.
And, I mean, I'm trying. I have it up. It's just my computer's moving slow. Let's go down the list. Jack Sawyer, number one player in the state.
First time in history that a school has had back-to-back number one overall players ever I've saw. It was last – because Ohio
ESPN.
State had
– Yeah, ESPN 300. Yeah. According to 247 Sports, he's the fourth national player. I'm just going to say his first name, Emeka, who verbally committed last week. And then Donovan Jackson. I can't wait for this kid. 6'4", 308, offensive guard. Just watch the tape. And then probably my favorite guy of this class, Travion Henderson, who I think could be the next Curtis Samuel. Mm-hmm. And then Kyle McCord, another five-star quarterback. Ja'Kalen Johnson. Mike Hall, who
– I'm excited about Mike Hall. Yeah. I've heard great things about Mike Hall. And just think what Larry Johnson's going to do for this young man. Think about – I mean, we're all excited about Jack Sawyer. Obviously, he's going to be a stud. But imagine a guy like Mike Hall just being coached up by Larry Johnson, number 49th overall in the country, number four at his position. That's going to be a bad man.
Yeah. And then from Massillon, Washington, Jaden Ballard. This kid, I've seen a lot of tape of him just because he's, where he's from. He's a wide receiver, 6'2", 175, has good frame. He's going to be fun. Jordan Hancock. This one's interesting because he flipped from Clemson to side with Buckeyes. 6'1", 170, that prototype Larry Combs corner, like a Jeff Okuda and a Tyreek Johnson that Kerry Combs – recruited. And then Evan, an all-purpose back, Evan Pryor, 5'10", 190. I see a lot of a little bit of – not as – he's a little bit taller than JK, but I see a lot of JK in his tape.
Yeah, it's – go ahead. I love that we have Pryor and Henderson, two really good backs, because that's one thing different. Ohio State need. They did. It kind of reminds me when Ohio State – they're not super similar, but kind of the same dynamic when Ohio State signed Zeke and Dontre Wilson. You know, two backs, two highly recruited backs, but slightly obviously way different skill sets. And it kind of reminds me what they're going with here. Now, obviously, they would have to have great careers to even live up to Zeke. And Dontre Wilson also had a solid career, even though he switched over to receiver. But Dontrell Willis.
The pitcher for the Marlins from back in the day.
I love this player, Reed Caracco, yes. Linebacker, Mr. Ohio football, number five in at his position, inside linebacker. He is going to be. I mean, I just envision him. He's going to be a senior. He's probably a captain. I believe he's going to be a stud.
I picture freshman year Tough Borland. When Tough Borland, before he tore his Achilles, I picture this kid to come in and start off like Tough Borland did.
A more athletic Tough Borland, yes. I would say.
Yes.
Like a Pete Werner.
Yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr., we all know about what his dad did, Hall of Famer in the NFL. 6'3", 190, Ben Victor guy. He's got that. I can't wait to see him on the field. And look at this, folks. He's an offensive guard, 6'6", 299. Woof. Granted, he's sixth at his position, sixth in the state from Richfield, Ohio. This kid's a monster.
Next, we have Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle, 6'3", 330 pounds, from Virginia. Interesting that they're really digging into the Virginia area, but that's obviously a hotbed these days near Manassas. I expect big things from him. Moving down the list, we got Andre Tarentine, a safety, number four at his position, only 167 overall. But yeah, it's like we're like, oh, only 167th best player in the country. That's still a great player. People don't realize he's still right. ESPN, you know, top 300 would start probably anywhere else in the country. Yeah, he's going to be probably good with BIA. Denzel Burke, interesting.
I don't know what we're going to do with him, but the kid can move.
He can. We'll coach him up. It's just I like that you know, Kerry Combs has gone out, and if you will look, then Johnson Dunn, another safety. He loaded this class with some corners, like Hancock, Burke, and he has a couple safeties, and Jalen Johnson, Johnson Dunn, Andre Tarentine, Jakalen Johnson. I mean, he has six defensive backs coming in just to coach up. There's no doubt that one or two of them are going to end up being studs.
Exactly. And then Zen Michalski, another Michalski. Michalski, another big offensive tackle. Not the key guy who you want, but hey, he's from Indiana. He's come in and work his tail off. Sam Hart, a tight end. It just seems like we get these three-star tight ends like a Luke Farrell that come in and play well.
I believe too. Sam Hart committed after the Penn State game, if I'm not wrong, right? I believe I think he committed right after Rucker caught two touchdowns against Penn State. I believe that's the player.
Yeah, so, from Colorado.
I believe. Yeah, too. Yeah. So I mean, I like his enthusiasm. I think he's bought in after seeing that.
And here's a guy that I got to see personally live last year for state playoffs against Walnut Ridge, Jalen Johnson. He had offers from West Virginia, Northwestern. Could have took the easy way out and started right away there. But, hey, he's going to come and play the Buckeyes, work his tail off here in the state of Ohio. And, I mean, obviously turned down Cincinnati too. And this kid's a workhorse. He's, you know, he may be only ranked 411th nationally. 29th at his position, 13th in the state, but this kid will work his tail off.
And then finally, the coveted punter position, Jesse Micro from Australia, a three-star from Australia. We'll see how that goes, but, you know, not the first Aussie Ohio State has had at punter.
I could use another Cam Johnson.
I'm cool with it. You know, we do have to replace Chrisman after the season, and if he's going to be, you know, if they think he could step in, I'm cool with him. I have really no complaints. I mean, overall, what I love about this class, we definitely recruited hard in the areas we needed. I think we needed some more defensive back depth. We needed more running back depth. We hit all those. We also got a quarterback. I'm happy with the quarterback we got. Obviously, I think C.J. Stroud or Jack Miller will be the answer, but it's always nice having a five-star younger guy to come in if something – just the best man wins the job, really. And then finally, we have our studs. We have Jack Sawyer. We have Emeka Abuka. People are saying, you know, JT Tumalowau might come still. There's a good chance of that from what I'm hearing. So
there's a lot of good players still out there that could lean the Buckeyes way too.
Yeah, Tristan Lee or whatever his name. Yeah, there's so many guys still that they could go out and get. But I'm really happy with this class. Yes. Like just looking at it, I really think it might be our best class ever. And I'm just grateful, man. I'm just grateful.
Now the question is, who transfers?
Oh,
that's the huge question. Obviously, we're not going to sit here and name names, because there's. Who knows? They're going to have to open up some scholarships.
I will say the receiver room, I think there will be some transfers from there just because we have so many good receivers.
And I see think, Cameron Babb maybe.
And then the quarterback position.
Will we lose Justin Fields and Gunnar Oak this year? I'm talking about going into next year.
Oh, next year. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Who's Stroud or – and honestly, I hate to see it, but you can almost see a Cameron Babb transferring, a Jalen Harris.
Yeah.
Out of the receiver room. DBs. I mean, there is some DBs out there, but we're also going to be losing some.
I don't think DBs will transfer because there's going to be so many opportunities.
Linebackers won't transfer.
I don't think any defensive line will transfer.
I think it's more on the offensive side.
Receivers, and then maybe whoever loses the quarterback battle between
I don't think they transfer this year.
No, they would transfer the year after, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to get into it that much though, because it's like a Debbie Downer kind of. It's such an exciting day, and then we're talking who's going to lose now.
That's the question: who will transfer and unfortunately transfer due to either playing time or just hurt? Couldn't cut the mustard, but you know, just injuries hurt them and they want to revamp their career, type of thing. So, Big Ten championship is finally here. And all I have to say is, yes, I'm still wearing my Fire Kevin Warren shirt. So,
I can't wait until we smack Northwestern and Kevin Warren comes down with the trophy and has to shake Ryan Day's hand, look all our players in the eye, and hand us that trophy. It's going to be a great moment.
Yes, it is. So, I was listening to with Paul Keel's, Jim Lachey and Skip Mossick Monday night, and they were talking about the strength of Northwestern is the middle linebackers, because we're going to jump right into the defense for Northwestern. They posed the question, when's the last time you've seen in a game where the starting six linebackers have over 15 years of experience as starting linebacker? If you want to combine all the years, Pete Warner, Tuff Borland, Baron Browning, Patty Fisher, and I don't know the other two's name. I just know they've been starting for a long time.
Yeah, Blake Gallagher. I mean, Northwestern has a very good defense. There's no way to go get around it. I mean, their defense is littered with all Big Ten football players on the third team. They have Iku Liota, defensive lineman. They have linebacker, first team, Patty Fisher. First team defensive back, Brandon Joseph. Also first team defense, Greg Newsom. They have second team linebacker, Blake Gallagher. And then they obviously have third team. I mean, they have, I believe, we're counting up six all Big Ten players on defense. So that's a good defense, man. That is a stout defense. Definitely could give our offense some fits. Now I do think they don't have the athletes to handle us, but it's still they don't have the athletes, but they have the players, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're right. This Northwestern's gritty. The thing that's going to hurt them the most is rest. Defense ain't going to get a lot of rest. They're going to be on the field a lot.
No, you're absolutely right too. I mean, also Ohio State had an extra week to prepare. Northwestern had to go play Illinois for some reason, which I understand that they wanted to play, I think, from my understanding, but I don't think it was fair that the Big Ten made them do that. I think they should have gotten a bye, but it is what it is. Like, I think Coach Fisher, we'll have him ready to play.
I think they'll run out of gas on defense.
Yeah.
Because I was watching in the first half. Northwestern plays great in the second half. The first half, they play iffy. Northwestern was getting a lot. I mean, Illinois was getting a lot of push. And I tweeted out, and I was like, man, Master Teague and Sermon can have a day. Because in the first quarter, Illinois' running backs were getting some good yardage, getting good push up front. But obviously Northwestern wore them out with sure tackling, because that's the one thing that Northwestern does is they tackle very, very well.
Yeah, Coach. I just call him Coach Fisher for some reason. Coach Fitzgerald, I should have said.
He's amazing.
Yeah, Coach Fitzgerald is probably one of the best coaches in the Big Ten. I mean, imagine what he would do at a program not named Northwestern.
Problem is, he's never leaving Northwestern.
No, he's not. He's a legend there. He's gotten them two Big Ten title games. That's really elevated that program beyond belief.
Absolutely.
It's my question to you, Cass, is do you think this is a trap game?
It's possible.
I was thinking it could be because, I mean, they got the players. Peyton Ramsey, he's a mid-tiered Big Ten quarterback, but in 2018 he passed for 3 touchdowns, over 300 yards against the Buckeyes. Obviously, that defense was shaky, so I don't know much credit I will give him. And it was on Indiana. Last year against Indiana, he only had like 100 yards and he threw a pick six. Didn't really do much. But he has shown in the past he can, you know, sling against the Buckeyes. He also shown he can struggle against the Buckeyes. But it depends on what Peyton Ramsey we get. But I'm more curious because, you know, in history has shown us Ohio State has lost games where they have been projected to win up by a lot. It's happened against Purdue. It's happened against Iowa. Northwestern kind of reminds me of one of those teams that we might just be overlooking because it feels like the kind of the sentiment right now is, oh, Ohio State's in the playoff. They're going to go walk in there and spank Northwestern. But Northwestern, I think, is seeing this as an opportunity where this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to win the Big Ten. They haven't won the Big Ten, I believe, since 2000, before Fitzgerald was even there. I think he might have been just an assistant on the team. So this is a huge opportunity for Northwestern. And I hope the Buckeyes are taking it seriously because I think it's going to be a dogfight on Saturday. I really do.
I think they're going to be chomping at the bit. I think Ohio State's going to be ready. I think they're ready for this moment. I think they've been dying to play because the rivals backed out. I'm saying that. They backed out. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, they did. And they did it to Iowa, too, this week. So,
I think they did that to save face, by the way. That's my theory.
I'll give you the theory after we go into what's that team up north up to. But I think Ohio State's going to be ready. I think they're ready for big things. I think they know they got to go out and prove themselves because they're still getting a lot of doubt. Even head coaches in college football are giving Ohio State doubt about only playing 6 games. This football team is going to be ready. Do I think they're going to smack Northwestern 59-0? No. But I do think this is going to be a double-digit lead. I think a double-digit win gets them in the playoff, whether they cover the spread or not. I think they're a lot. I think style points could be nice, but like I said, their offense is so lethargic. They got a good running back. They got a decent quarterback, but they have no receivers.
Yeah,
and you
they
can't,
don't.
And this defensive line, which I'm pissed off at the Big Ten media and coaches because not a single player got voted first team All Big Ten.
How did Haskell Garrett not get?
How did Tommy Tug, Togiai, Jonathan Cooper, Haskell Garrett got third team by the media? This is bogus. But
yeah,
I don't think Northwestern's going to be able to run the ball. I think Ohio State's going to have a day on offense, just because Northwestern's going to be gassed. They're going to be on the field a lot, and they're going to be out skiing.
I'm very surprised. I'm happy. Like I'm very happy. And he's our guy, Sean Wade. He won, you know, defensive back of the year, got first team.
That tells you how bad the DBs must have been. I can't say that.
I'm not saying he's not deserving. Sean Wade, I think, has really stepped it up the past 2 games with the pick 6 to win against Indiana, the interception against, you know, Michigan.
He hasn't really played bad.
He hasn't played bad. He's always been in coverage. It's always been good coverage. He just gets mossed because he's trying to
intercept the ball
and not knock it down. But it does raise some questions when a guy like where is it? Did he not – Shakir Brown. Shakir Brown on Michigan State. I believe he has 5 or 6 interceptions on the season.
But what did Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave?
yeah, they absolutely. But they got second team. They got second team apparently. So it's
I understand Freifogel, but
David Bell, I don't understand at all. Like, I understand
he has the statistics, but man,
he's not Garrett Wilson or Olave. It's just a lot of questionable decisions by the voters, and I don't know.
Do you think they had the limit on how many Buckeyes? Because there was a lot.
Probably. I saw like Zach Harrison made second team in one of them. He had it, like, don't get me wrong, Zach Harrison has had a very good season, but you can't tell me that, you know, he should be in over like Cooper. Yeah. I thought Cooper has had a better season than Zach Harrison, to be honest. I just the media members, whoever's voted on some of these stuff.
We got defensive player of the year.
I'm not sure.
Is it a Northwestern guy?
That's a great question.
Because obviously Justin Fields ran away with all the offensive awards.
So I'm checking right now. That's a great question.
It would have been Micah Parsons.
Iowa's Davion Nixon.
Okay. Why didn't Patty Fisher? I swear Patty Fisher from Northwestern's been there since Vietnam.
Yeah, for some reason, too, I thought he was Coach Fitzgerald's kid, even though it doesn't make any sense. That's why I called him Coach Fisher, because for some reason, it's been a long day. I thought that Coach, for some reason, Patty Fisher is Coach Fitzgerald's son, even though.
If you go back and watch Pat Fitzgerald's tape, he reminds you of him.
Yeah, I think that's it. And then I think they're just like Pat Fitzgerald loves him. I don't know.
Here's what's going to happen. Patty Fisher's not going to make it in the NFL, and Pat Fitzgerald's going to hire him as the linebackers coach.
Or like strength and conditioning or something. Like, it's going to be one of
those.
They
still have the buff guy, the guy that wears the schmediums.
Ooh, I believe they do. I believe they do. So, yeah, he'll be on the sideline. So, I mean, they're not going to have a sideline warning.
White helmet, white, black, or purple helmets.
For the Buckeyes?
Northwestern.
Northwestern. I think they're going to go black.
Black. White jerseys with white pants, black pants.
Yeah, they're going to be like, let's have a funeral for Ohio State or something. That's going to be their gimmick.
Okay, what's the score of this game?
I think the score 45-24.
I'm going
Ohio State.
Yeah. Similar to the last time we played these guys in the Big Ten Championship. So I'm going to go 38-17.
I like it. I mean, I completely agree. I do think it's going to be a close game like that one. I mean, we pulled away in the fourth quarter, but that was a good game, the last one. So I absolutely agree with you, Cass.
He's the victory. Just don't turn the ball over. And Justin Fields, go get your invite to New York. This could be your Heisman statement. I mean, I know you're not probably going to win it because Devontae Smith should, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's a beast. But go out and get an invite.
My key to victory is just let's stop the run. Just stop their run. I mean, make them beat us through the air, because I don't think Peyton Ramsey has it. I think I sense a pick six by Sean Wade. I think he's going to pull a Damon Arnett, but against Peyton Ramsey. History will repeat itself, just like last year against Indiana, where Peyton Ramsey threw the pick six to Arnett. I think Sean Wade's going to get a pick six and just cement himself as the defensive back of the year.
What about Sean Banks? Just seven banks.
Seven banks. I'm going with Sean Wade. I think Sean Wade's on a heater right now. He's going to get three interceptions in three consecutive games. Well, an interception in three consecutive
seven
games.
Banks will have an interception, but not a pick six.
Okay. I'll agree with that. And on offense, let's get Rucker involved, man. He's been quiet. Let's get the tight ends involved. I think this is a game where obviously they have those really good linebackers, Northwestern, but the one way to stop great linebackers is just great tight end play. Play the mismatches. Mess with them. If you play some tight end mismatches, it's going to open up the run, I think.
Olave and Garrett Wilson could have a day.
Yeah. If they don't have COVID, which is there's a rumor going around. I don't know who has it because we're going to find out on Friday. From my understanding, it could be one of the receivers. From what I've been seeing on message boards, I don't want to speculate too much, but we are going to get a COVID announcement on Friday. Someone, a starter's out. That's all I know. It sounded like it could have been one in the receiver group, someone in the receiver group, but there will be at least one person unavailable per sources, per the message boards, per, you know, I saw on Twitter a couple of reporters, so we'll see. I don't know. Hopefully it's no one major. Hopefully it's not Fields.
If it was Justin Fields, it'd be more than that.
Yeah, I think if it was Justin Fields, the whole, like, we would have known by now.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. All right. Let's do what that team up north is doing. Ducking, not playing.
Ducking and running.
Nine freaking.
So, yeah, this, let's get into it. Let's get into it. So we've had our theories all along that they were dodging us. It's only came to light because it was basically confirmed that nine players across the entire athletic department had COVID, well below the Big Ten threshold. So, you know, they shut it down for Ohio State. The Sunday after, you know, once Saturday comes, you know, they're feeling merry. Once kickoff came, 12:01 games, you know, officially not being played, they were feeling merry apparently because they had a spirited practice on Sunday. They signed up to play Iowa, all excited. And I really think they were just trying to save face because the second, you know, people were like, okay, so you just clearly dodged Ohio State. They just like, oh, actually, we're going to cancel the Iowa game too. Because they 100% were ducking Ohio State. They got called out on it, and now they're just using that, canceling against Iowa as an excuse to be like, nope, to actually say, you know, we actually had COVID, which I don't think is actually really the case here. I think they were just trying to not play us.
And they don't want to play Iowa apparently either.
Yeah, they're a disgrace.
That's enough said.
Enough said.
Are they playing this Saturday? Nope.
Are they playing? They're not. They're done.
Yeah. What if they get a bowl invite and go?
No, I believe they're not doing any bowls.
So, Northwestern, Indiana, and Ohio State are the only bowl eligible teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah. It's kind of sad.
Wow.
It's sad.
LSU takes a self-imposed bowl ban. Speaking of LSU, did the dude get his shoe back yet?
That was funny. They took speaking of the team up north, I guess they took a play out of last year, Michigan's playbook last year, and they took Dobbin's shoe.
Yeah, that I knew a couple Florida fans, and they're like, "Oh, he's just a kid; he doesn't know any better." I'm like,
he was like a 50-year senior, I think. He took the shoe and he was celebrating too. He was flexing. He yeeted it. He picked it up and it just was a flexing. Like, he was celebrating. Like,
didn't
bro.
Then the LSU guy do the gator chomp too.
Yeah, I love the gator chomp. There's nothing better than a good old gator chomp, even if I'm not a gator fan.
Yeah. So college football playoff rankings came out. Speaking of the Gators, they only moved down one spot, which is a joke.
Had Cincy moved down a spot for not playing due to COVID, but Florida moved down
Georgia
one spot due to lose it, and they have two games. It doesn't seem very fair to me.
So I'm going to play this scenario game. I've been talking at work all day with my buddies at work. Scenario time. Okay. Do you think, no matter what, how the outcomes of this game is, that we'll still have the same Final Four outside of Alabama losing? If Alabama wins, Notre Dame beats Clemson, Ohio State wins, do you still have the same Final Four? Do they still have the same Final Four?
Well, if Notre Dame,
if Notre Dame wins.
No. I think they would put Florida in over Clemson, to be honest, because they would have –
They would have three losses. I'm talking about if Alabama wins, Notre Dame wins, Ohio State wins.
Oh, then it's going to go to – that's a great question. Honestly, I don't think – Texas A&M has to win this week. They have to play Tennessee at Tennessee. They're only a 14-point favorite. I could totally see Tennessee pulling off the upset, to be honest. I'm not convinced with A&M. It gets tough, though, because it's – would you put – a two-loss Clemson team in, or a Big 12 champion Iowa State in,
or Oklahoma,
or I feel like you got to put Cincinnati in. I don't. They're undefeated. They're clearly the best Group of Five team. You can't put Clemson in if they've lost to the same opponent twice. That's just unheard of. That's insanity.
Obviously, Bama wins, Clemson wins, Notre Dame wins. Notre Dame loses, Ohio State wins. Same Final Four, but Notre Dame goes to four, right?
That's a great question. I can see Notre Dame falling out of it, unfortunately, just because the committee's dumb. They'll go with recency bias. If they see Notre Dame lose and they see, like, say, let's say Texas A&M wins, they thump Tennessee. I can see that jump happening. I think it's stupid. I really do. It also would come down to how bad I think Alabama beats Florida. If Alabama absolutely obliterates Florida and the game doesn't even look competitive, then I think that helps out A&M, believe it or not, because although Florida would drop
to 10.
They would drop a spot probably. I don't know. But basically, I think it would make A&M not look that bad, because if Alabama's this high and mighty team, their one loss is to Alabama, which is, you know, it's this ungodly team, quote unquote.
Alabama loses, Clemson wins, Ohio State wins. Same Final Four?
I do think it would be the same Final Four. I mean,
Clemson would be one. I think Clemson would jump ahead of everybody.
Tiebreaker goes to – I mean, man, tiebreaker goes to this too. I think Notre Dame would be in just on the fact that if it comes down to A&M versus Notre Dame
and Florida really, versus
– and you're splitting hairs, Notre Dame's going to draw in the biggest probably TV views.
I think it would be – I think if that happens where Alabama loses to Florida, Ohio State wins – Clemson wins, I think it'd be Clemson 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 4, 3, Notre Dame 4. Or what do you think they do to Florida? Do you think they put Florida at 4 and Alabama at 3?
You can't put Florida in. I'm sorry. You just can't. They have two losses.
But they will.
I don't think they will. They're not good losses. Like, the LSU loss is a horrible loss.
Bad loss.
Like, finding a blind squirrel finding a nut and beating Bama still doesn't make up for the two losses. I think we've never seen a team with two losses get in. They would have to obliterate Bama. They would have to win by like over 21, I think.
If they beat Bama by like three touchdowns, Bama doesn't get in.
Bama's still going to get in. Bama could literally not score a point. They're still going to get in. I think if the only way Florida gets in is if they blow out Bama and Clemson loses, then I think they would get in.
What's the highest ceiling for the Buckeyes? Two? But it would take Alabama losing and Clemson losing, right?
I would say it's tough, man.
What if Alabama and Clemson lose? Like, what if the committee does?
What if Alabama and Notre Dame lose? Because then they would both have a loss. Clemson would have one loss, but then we just blow out. I think the only way Ohio State could maybe get one, I'd say I give them a 10% chance of this happening if everything played out this way, is Alabama gets stumped. Clemson wins, but like by a small margin against Notre Dame. And then we absolutely kicked the snot out of Northwestern, like 59-0. Like the one year, I think we would jump to one, to be honest. And then, because we're the undefeated 6-0, and we just had an insane win just to, you know, cement ourselves as probably the top team. I think that would get us in at one. That's being very optimistic, though, and biased.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Dumb picks time. Dumb picks. All right. I am so excited for this week, though. It's going to be the best week of college football, probably of the season. We're not going to have these one or two good games. We're going to have so many good games this weekend. Let's kick it off, man. Pac-12 Championship Friday, 8:00. It was supposed to be USC Washington. Now it's USC Oregon. Who you got?
I got USC. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence right now, despite, you know, winning ugly. And maybe they're trying to make a case for the playoffs. I think they would have to win 59-0. But
yeah, USC is interesting. I think they're a dark horse in the playoff. I think the way they would get in would have to be Bama win, Ohio State win, Notre Dame win. They would have to look phenomenal. A&M either loses or doesn't look great. And then I believe, let's say, I don't think Iowa State would still get in with a Big 12 victory, to be honest. They have two losses. I find that hard to believe that they wouldn't put USC in over them just because USC has the pedigree. They would still draw West Coast viewers and a huge TV market. So I got USC, though.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Tennessee, A&M, a noon game at Neyland. I got Tennessee, man. I think they've been pretty bad this year, but they did play Georgia tough. They have shown they can show up to some games. I'm going to go with Tennessee. I think A&M are frauds. I think they're going to drop this one.
Yeah, I think Texas A&M wins, but it's close.
Okay. Obviously Buckeyes are going to win. Oklahoma, Iowa State. We all know how this is ending, right? We all know Oklahoma's going to win this.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're playing really good football right now.
It's a great Iowa State. They're a great Cinderella story, but sometimes the bad guys win. In Oklahoma, they're the bad guys. Spencer Rattler. I mean, Iowa State had a great win in Ames early on the season against Oklahoma. But I think Oklahoma's going to be looking out for revenge, and it's so hard to beat a team twice. So give me the Sooners.
Absolutely.
L.A., Louisiana Lafayette versus Coastal Carolina.
Carolina.
Be a dog.
Yes, be a dog. Coastal Carolina.
Coastal, yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna save the big two for the end. I just want to do this is the Joel Klatt Bowl. Boise State, San Jose State, 4:15. The Joel Klatt Bowl, baby.
The game that was supposed to be played.
I got San Jose State because they're fun to watch. That's really it. I'm just going San Jose State just because Joel Klatt didn't want to go to Boise. So I got San Jose State. That's my logic.
Give me San Jose State also.
Big one. Tulsa, Cincinnati.
Is this at Cincinnati?
Yeah, but I'm ride or dying with Tulsa. I've been on the Tulsa bandwagon since like week one, ever since they played Oklahoma State tough. I think they'll pull off the upset for some reason. I got Tulsa. I think Cincinnati, they're just so defeated at this point. They've done everything in their power to go undefeated. It doesn't matter. They can beat Tulsa by 100. The committee's going to be like, yeah, but you don't play in the SEC. So you're going to be number 13 in our rankings.
Right. Give me Cincinnati.
All right. Which one do you want to start with, ACC or SEC?
SEC, because it's easier.
Alabama. SEC, Bama, yeah, Bama. And then the big one, Notre Dame, Clemson, 4 p.m. I'm going to go on the record here.
Notre Dame is a 10-point underdog.
It's weird. It's a weird season that they're a 10-point underdog. It's weird that Notre Dame's even two. I find it hard to believe that they'd be two, because also if we played them, we're a 10-point favorite, which says something. Why are they number two if Vegas doesn't like Clemson? They don't like them against Ohio State. They don't like them against Bama. I got Clemson in this. I think we all know. We see the writing on the wall. Trevor Lawrence is going to go off. I wouldn't be shocked if Trevor Lawrence has a Heisman-worthy performance, to be honest. I think there's a chance Trevor Lawrence can steal the Heisman right here with this performance. I really do.
I want Clemson to lose so bad because I hate Dabo. I hate Notre
Dame. I want them. I'm gonna be cheering for the Irish. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely want them. I want the Irish to win. I understand the Ohio State fans being like, "Oh, we want to play Clemson." No, I don't want to play Clemson again. I want to avoid them completely. History has shown every time we play them, Ohio State gets absolutely fucked. So I just want to avoid them. I'm sorry. I sound like a coward, but if Notre Dame could take them out for us, that's an easy problem, because Clemson, they're a top three team. Absolutely. But if we could, like, it's like, if you have a chance to kill someone off who's a threat, you got to kill them off. Go Irish, like, just beat them.
I got Clemson in this, but I want the Irish to win so bad.
I mean, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence is going to, and people were like, "Ooh, well, you know, The Clemson's quarterback played great, and they still gave up, you know, over 40 points." But it's like, yeah, but just psychologically, having Trevor Lawrence, that's going to change so many things. It's going to change so many things Clemson can do on offense, so many schemes. It's going to open up the playbook. It's just going to give that team confidence. And also, they were missing, I believe, some other players to that game due to COVID. So I think Notre Dame's in for an ass whooping. I think Ian Book's gonna have a rough day. I don't think he's a good quarterback, to be honest.
No, not at all either. That's it. I think the Buckeyes win big, barring this possible COVID news.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think we'd still beat Northwestern. Even without Justin Fields, I think we'd still beat him, to be honest. But
problem is who's going to be out? Like, I mean, how long will they be out?
That is the question. I think we're going to have to save that. Let's save that for next week's episode, because that is something great where we can absolutely complain and rant about, because it's going to be the 20. I guarantee you, the Big Ten has screwed this up. More information is going to come to light. But let's save that for next week, because that's going to be a whole segment for sure, I bet.
Absolutely.
Any other thoughts, my guy?
No, thank
you. No, thank you. I mean, yeah, I'm sure everyone listened to this. It's Wednesday night. We're exhausted. It's the holidays. But, you know, thank you all for listening to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I think I said it with a lisp, like Lou Holtz. But thank you for listening to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, Big Cass. As always, my man, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.